the marks of a maturing disciple. Okay, I hope that everyone were able to do some self-evaluation. And I know the world does a lot of self-evaluations. But, you know, when God speaks to us, you know, we need to act on it almost immediately, rather immediately, so that we won't actually get into trouble with the Lord. Okay? Before I start off, I just want to... Well, you can turn to Psalm 117 if you like. But I just want to... Something on my heart, I just want to share with everyone so that we can all at least understand spiritually what is happening. Okay? And how many of you read the what's that? Friday Church News about First Baptist Church in Hammond, Indiana, about what happened over there. First Baptist Church, for those who had taken some time off to read, about Pastor Jack, not Shep, his name is not Shep, it's Scott, it's Scott, Jack Scott. Okay, and he's the son-in-law of Pastor Jack Howells, which passed away, I think, sometime this decade, I think, 2002 or something, can't remember. Huh? 2001, okay, so, but anyway, the reason why I brought him up is, Pastor Chanta actually came, and Pastor Chanta is very closely related to that church that they are in, okay? And he's a good friend of Jack Scott. All right, so I just wanted to bring up because I think some of you may still be on the Facebook with him. I think some of you may also know that he's also planning to come over to plant a church. Actually, since last year, I've been writing to him. Okay, I have the emails. I've actually pleaded with him to be aware of his associations, which he is not listening to before this actually happened. So he actually shut me out of his Facebook when he came this time. I just want to let everyone know I have nothing against him, but I just wanted to know, want people to know, so that sometimes you may respond. I have no problems with you being friends with him. There's no problem. In fact, that's our heart. But I did tell him if the association continues to be so, it's very hard for us to be in a ministry association with him. And so there was a separation stand that needed to be taken. However, I did tell him still, if you still need help, I gave him my email and my handphone. He still knows it. But so I just wanted to kind of put that in perspective for us. Okay, you'll find his plan is actually to come at the end of the year. All right. Unfortunately, he didn't know all the nitty-gritties. Okay, because some of the other pastors actually... Because we work most with him, and so the Sunday pastor actually called me up was quite surprised why he didn't actually come through us, since we know him the best, because he worked with us for 2 months. But at the end of it, he did not know that he needed a visa. He thought he could just go to ICA, apply, and he'll come in. He didn't realize that it was so hard. So that's still in the pipeline. We're not too sure what's happening. But I just wanted us to pray with regards to what the Lord's will would be. Okay, as far as we're concerned, God still wants us to move on and just do the right thing. All right, so pray for your pastor, me. Pray for each other. Okay, if those of you who actually have read up some of what Jack Scott has been teaching with regards, I wouldn't say I'm not surprised, but the trend of his preaching has always been in that area, if you know what I mean. That area of immorality. Okay, and he's associating doctrinal things with that area, which is very scary. And many people have actually made a lot of noise about how come you are doing that. All right, and so do pray for the families. The church, reputed to be having the biggest Sunday school in the world. In the world, biggest Sunday school in the world, 20,000 every Sunday. Okay, they have 500 buses that goes out every Sunday, and but unfortunately, their belief system, their doctrines, they believe in this thing called easy believism. In other words, people who pray a prayer and then they get saved. All right, that's easy believism. Okay, so there's a bit of question mark about what they believe. All right, so do pray. Just because it's Baptist in Singapore, there's a lot of Baptists in Singapore, right? Faith Community Baptist Church is definitely not Independent Baptist. They don't send squarely on the scriptures alone. There are other newer revelations that come. All right, just wanted to start off with that. All right, so just to let people know what's happening. So you can be praying, okay? The other thing also, we are starting off the training for chapel teachers tomorrow. So for those who are involved, we start at 2:30. All right? Okay? I'm trying to make it fun. So, all right? Because we're learning about children and all that kind of thing. All right? Starts tomorrow and next week as well. All right? So there are things happening in the church. For the men, we are planning to have our discipleship group leaders training after the prayer retreat. So that's in the pipeline as well. So pray for me because there's a lot of things to think about and also for the church to grow and all that kind of thing. Plus this place that will be coming out soon also. For those who have driven past there, you realize the lights are up really. It's very nice now, except one part that is actually not totally, it's built now. I think one part they're painting already, the lights are on and things like that. So we have to be starting to plan after prayer retreat for our move to a new place. Okay? All right. Okay, Psalm 117. Psalm 117. Immediately, children, are you in your Bibles? What is strange about this psalm? Immediately, what is strange? What, Joseph, you're observing. What is strange about this psalm? Psalm 117, or anyone? What is strange about this psalm? Immediately, what when you see the psalm, what strikes you about this psalm? This is the type of chapter you would like to read for your Bible reading. Amen? No, just kidding. What's the thing that strikes you about this psalm? This chapter, what? Very short. In fact, it is the shortest psalm in the Bible. And after that, after we read, we pray, I'll tell you something even more interesting about this psalm. Right? Let's stand as we read these two verses from this psalm. Psalm 117. Psalm 117, verse 1 and verse number 2. Let's read together just two short psalms. Okay, tell what, let's do something different. Let's the children, you read verse 1, okay? Then everyone will read verse 2. How about that? Okay, children, are you ready? Children? By children is defined as 12 and below. Okay, and the rest. All right, ready, children? 1, 2, go. Oh, praise ye nations, praise him, all ye people. Verse 2 all together. For his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. Amen. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, we praise you tonight, and we praise you for thy word. We ask you to open our eyes to wonderful things that you can encourage us tonight about why we need to praise you. We thank you for what you're going to do in this short half an hour or so, 45 minutes. Open our eyes, Lord, to your word. Encourage us, and may the children learn something tonight too. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Okay. This psalm is I was just trying to read the background of this psalm. There's no particular background to this psalm, except that this psalm is used during the worship service. Okay? And some of the it is said that they may use it at the beginning, or they may use it in the middle, or they may use it at the end. Okay? It has a general theme of calling people to praise God. Just general theme of calling people to praise God. Alright? Now, let me ask you a question. How many of you have calculators on your smartphone? Calculators on your smartphone. Okay, some of you have. I'd like you to take it out now. I want to tell you something very interesting about this particular psalm. Okay? Now, how many chapters are there in the... How many books are there in the Bible? 66 books, right? Okay? How many books are there in the Old Testament? Huh? What? 39, huh? Sure? 39, huh? So, New Testament? 27, okay? Now, how many chapters are there in the Bible? How many chapters are there in the Bible? Comfort. 1189, okay? 1189 chapters. I want you to divide that by 2. Children, 1189 divided by 2. Do your maths, huh? You know, mental maths, right? Some of you now schools, do they teach mental maths still? Mental maths? Sing Swan. So what? 594.5, right? 594.5, right? Now, I want you to count the number of chapters. Some of you have your in your Bibles, right? Genesis got how many chapters? 50. Exodus, 40. Okay, for those in your Bibles, you quickly count the number of chapters. Okay? Up to Job. Just count it up to Job. Okay? Okay? You just count the end. Don't go one by two. You take a long time. Okay. I just want to start off with something interesting here. Okay, so, okay, tell what, I'll just help you along, right? For those who have. Okay, Genesis has 50 chapters. Exodus got 40 chapters. Then after that, Leviticus is 27. Numbers, 36. Okay, start adding. Deuteronomy, 34. Then Joshua is 24. Judges is 21. Ruth is 4 chapters. 1 Samuel is 31. 2 Samuel is 24. 1 Kings is 22. Are you adding? 2 Kings is 25. 1 Chronicles is 29. 2 Chronicles is 36. Oh, who's adding? Who's adding? Okay, adding, okay. Then Ezra is 10, Nehemiah is 13, Esther is 10, Job is 42. Okay, Job is 42. All right, you stop there first. Okay, what's your answer? 478. 478 plus 117. Try. To the middle of 5590. What?
5.
So what's the answer?
595,
right? So 594. Do you realize Psalm 117 is exactly in the middle of the Bible? Exactly. Based on chapters alone. Based on chapters. Chapter. I don't know. Don't like it. Okay, how many verses are there in the Bible? Over 100,000 verses. Do you realize Psalm 117, interestingly, stands right in the middle, two verses, because it's 9-something.5, right in the middle of the entire Bible in terms of chapters, in terms of the chapter. And it admonishes us to what? Do what? Praise the Lord. Okay? Now, this is a good, fun lunchtime game you can play with your Christian friends. Okay. Now the interesting thing about this particular psalm is it's right in the middle, okay? And for you to understand this, it admonishes us to praise God, okay? Just to praise Him for all that He has done for us. Alright? Well, now it has a general theme calling people to praise the Lord in the context of Judaism and the Jewish religion, that all men everywhere should come to praise God. If you notice, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Now, this is a Jewish psalm, but why is it calling all ye nations to praise God? When will this all these nations come to praise God? When will it actually occur? At the millennium period, all right? When you realize this is prophetic as well. Prophetic means looking ahead, that one day the nations of the world will come and praise God. Okay, when all men will in actual fact with lips praise Christ for who He is. This psalm looks forward to the salvation of the Gentiles. That means us. That actually means us. Alright? Matthew chapter 15 mentions very clearly, Jesus says salvation is of the Jews. Do you realize Jesus is a Jewish Messiah? In Matthew 1:21, He will save His people from their sins, literally referring to the Jews. However, we know that in the mind of God, God has the Gentiles, us, in His plan. Amen? Amen? Amen. God actually planned ahead for us that we should praise Christ at the last day. Okay, we are commanded as believers to praise the Lord. Now, what does it mean to praise the Lord? What does it mean to praise the Lord? The word praise is a verb there. Okay, it has four different slants, all right, in the Hebrew. Number one is to commend. To commend. The word commend means to, wow, well done. Commend, all right. It also is to extol in words or song. In other words, you sing praises of someone. Okay, literally singing praise. Number three, it is also to express gratitude for personal favors. To praise God is to express gratitude for personal favors, to commend, to extol in song, and to express gratitude in personal favor. And number four, to do honor to. In other words, to honor God. In other words, everything you say will honor God. Your life, yours. That's why as believers, we believe you do your best in everything you do. Why? Because even your best will honor Christ. Okay? So to praise the Lord is to express our high regard for the works, the words, the excellencies of the Lord toward us. It is also to express our gratitude towards Him for all that He has done for us. Okay? We can praise Him. In what situations can we praise Him? Children? In what situations? Or anyone? In what situations can we praise God? All situations? Examples? Examples? Sorry? Answer. We can praise God for answered prayer. But in what situations do you praise God? In answered prayer? What else? Sorry? In tribulation. You must be going through some tough times. It's learning to praise God in tribulation. Anyone else? In what other situations can praise God when you're feeling the stress of the A-levels? Huh? Or what other situations? When can you praise God? You can praise God in the worship service. Amen? Huh? This house need to come down. I mean, of course, we try not to, not literally, but figuratively. When we praise God on Sundays, we need to give our best. Because God did so. We can praise God in the worship service by giving testimonies of thanksgiving. You know, there's one thing as a pastor, I'm hoping to see change. You know what? You know, any blessings to share? You know, when I say that, it's like, okay, all quiet. We need to get past that. We need to say, look, there's something good that God has done for us. All right? And after, at the end of tonight, hopefully there will be more reasons why you need to praise God. Giving testimony in song. Giving Him praise in service. Do you realize when you serve God or do something for Him, you are actually giving back to in response to what God has given to you? Okay? We can praise Him also by giving gifts to the Lord's word, like as many people I know, sometimes they give financially to the work here. We thank God for that. We have people from other churches who see that we do the VBS. I remember one time we was having a VBS, and we had many children. We thank God for that. But we charge very low, you know, and so some people were asking how you guys make ends meet. Now we just say that God's people gave, and so we budgeted for it. You know, there was one mother who is a Christian from another church, just gave us a check and said, thank God for that, and he praised God for our work and gave her just a check, just as an offering, a love offering for the world. You know, we can give in that sense as well. Okay? So, but why do we praise God? Why do we praise God? Two reasons from this verse that we can... Why do we praise God? Because in verse 1, it says, oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations, praise Him, all ye people. Why do we praise God? Number one, because of His merciful kindness. All right, the first reason, because of His merciful kindness. Now, what does merciful kindness mean? I was very tempted to look through it. I actually studied the two words. The two words are actually from the same Hebrew word, chesed, C-H-E-S-E-D, referring to grace. In the Old Testament, interestingly, we oftentimes learn mercy and grace as two different things, right? But you will find that in the Hebrew, they actually use mercy as an encompassing term for both not giving us what we deserve, but also giving us what we don't deserve. So every time you see mercy in the Old Testament, you can always interchange it with grace. In other words, why should we praise God? Because of His grace, His merciful kindness. Question for you. Can you be kind to someone without being merciful or loving? Can you be kind to someone? How many of you have given money to someone busking? You don't really think much about it. So how many of you have given so that that person don't pester you? One strategy, like last time when I was a selfish, safe man, was, you know, when they go and sell flags, right? They call it CIP now, right? Is it? Community Involvement Project. Last time, they just say Flag Day. Basically, it's to collect money. It's not community involvement. Just to, and so what we do is, usually they would position themselves along the places where a lot of people walk past, right? So you miss one, there's about 16 others behind. So you shirk another one. So what I would do is take out a 5 cent or a 10 cent, give to one, put the badge there. And then as I walk past, I give already. So they won't ask. So I give myself a reason. Is it possible sometimes when we are kind? I think generally when people are kind to other people, they would have a heart for them. But do you realize that this word was broken up into two, that God gave us kindness and His merciful kindness. In other words, the kindness given to us was something we did not deserve. We praise God for His kindness to us because it is something that we did not deserve. By implication, the word kindness has the idea of favor. It's the New Testament equivalent to grace. No? So, we praise God for what? His merciful kindness. Why? Number one, because His merciful kindness is great. His merciful kindness is great. The Hebrew word great there, what does great mean? I like this. It's about 16 different meanings of great. And I believe every single one of them is applicable to the merciful God. Number one, the word great means large, in bulk or dimension. Number two, it means extended length. Number three, it means large in number. The mercies of God are large in number. Number four, it's long, it's continuing a great while. The mercies of God is continuing a great while. It is important. The mercies of God is great because it's important, it's weighty. The mercies of God is important as the principal thing that God gives to us all the time. The mercies of God is of vast power and excellence toward us. The mercies of God are great because it possesses large or strong powers. It's great. God's mercies toward us is great. It is made extensive. It's distinguished by rank. God's grace is far above, more important than anything that we can ever imagine. You realize without God's grace, we cannot be the kind of persons we are. We need to understand this. You know, the more I grow older as a Christian, both physically and spiritually, I realize what I have cannot be mine without God. And I hope every one of us will live life every single day with that kind of thinking. God, I won't be what I am without you. Without you, okay? The word great also has the idea of dignified. And the word great has the idea of being generous as well. The grace of God, the mercies of God is great. Is great. And you know what? The rest of the verse says, His merciful kindness is great toward us. Toward us. God didn't have to show it toward us. He could have shown it to someone else. It's kind of like if you were on the Titanic that night, 1914, I can't remember. I thought it was 1917. Some people say it's 13, 14, 15, 16? Titanic, quick. Joseph, you know everything. Come. Which year was the Titanic? Did the Titanic sink? Was it 14? 14? Who's... Yeah, you were the one who corrected me. 19 what? 1912. Okay, 1912, thank you. Oh, that's 100 years ago, right? Okay, 1912, okay? Can you imagine Titanic? How many people were there? There were 2,500 on board, about there, okay? About 1,600 or 700, 1,700 perished, okay? But you realize as they were like bubbling in the whole waters, there were ships coming, or not ships, lifeboats coming to save them. They were trying very hard to save as much and many people as possible. There were limited lifeboats, and they found that Titanic didn't have enough lifeboats. Okay, but the Carpathia, which is another, a shipping trawler, which was nearby, once they saw the flares come out, they quickly, as much as possible, ran to try to save as many people as possible. But despite their efforts, they could only save about 700 people survived. 1,700, 800 people went down. Can you imagine that night that you were the one of those 700 people? You were one of the 700 people. Would you say, God, that's not fair. How come I survived? He didn't. You're not going to ask that. You just say, God, thank you for saving me. Great is God's mercies toward us. You know, sometimes some Christians may blame God and say, how come God, especially in the doctrine of election, that kind of put people off a little bit. But you know, God's mercy is great towards us. I'll give you an illustration of God's great mercy. When a person works an 8-hour day and receives a day's pay, that is called a wage. Yes? When a person competes with an opponent and receives a trophy for his performance, that is a prize. When a person receives appropriate recognition for his long service or high achievements, that is an award. But when a person is not capable of earning a wage, can win no prize, and deserves no award, and yet receives such a gift anyway, that is a good picture of the grace of God. That is what we mean when we talk about God's grace. There was a young mother who came to Napoleon, and he was begging Napoleon to have mercy on a soldier son of him who did something, a crime in the army. And Napoleon was actually saying, look, the mom actually, I'm not asking for justice, I'm asking for mercy. And then Napoleon was saying to this man, your son don't deserve mercy. And then the woman says, sir, it would not be mercy if he deserved it. It would not be mercy if he deserved it. Does that make sense for us as Christians? It would not be mercy if it deserved it. God says in Titus chapter 3, verse 5, what did he say? It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. According to his mercy. Oh, Christian, his mercy is great toward us. God gives it to us, and in great measures. Okay, in great measure. Just very quickly, a question for you. What things in this life that we have that we don't deserve? Is there anything in this life that we have that we don't deserve? Salvation, really, let's turn to 1 Corinthians 4:7. Definitely we don't deserve salvation. But you know what? Everything that we have, even our life, is given to us. Everything in this life is given to us. All right? 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. Let's read together. Okay, 1 Corinthians 4:7. Ready? 1, 2, begin. For who maketh thee to differ from one another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as thou hast not received it? Paul was referring to the Corinthian Christians and said, look, what do you have that you didn't receive? Paul said, tell me, you know, what do you have that you didn't receive? Do you receive salvation? Do you receive life? Do you receive health? What do you have that you did not receive? Then why in the world are you so proud? That's what Paul was telling the Corinthian Christians. You know what? God gives great grace towards us. You know, as a Christian, no Christians ought to be so proud. You realize even our abilities. I live in constant fear right now. No, I won't say that. Okay, God free me of fear. But I suppose I have this anxiety that one day my leg will not operate anymore. Although I was still playing captain's ball yesterday. I wasn't running. But you know what? I'm comforted by the fact as long as God still needs me, I'm still around. So I'm going to do something about it, all right? I've got an orthopedic appointment in October, Yeah. But, you know, what do we have that we do? My family is given by God. And so is your family. Given by God. And the things that we have, your life, your sight, all given by God. Yesterday we were walking. After dinner, we were walking also. Joy was asking, and then she came to my, Papa, is that lady blind? There was this lady that sits in the corner busking, and she was blind, you know. And he said, yes, she is. Not so loud. I want to be nice. All right? And so she's been there, and she sings Christian songs, and all kinds of songs there. But you know what? And she does her best to try to make a living for herself by just singing. How many of you would appreciate it if you're blind? But you know what? We can thank God we're not. Amen? It doesn't mean that, oh, I need to be blind because otherwise I won't. No, you don't have to be. Just be thankful for what you have. If you're not blind, just be thankful that you're not blind. Just thank God. Because you realize it's God's grace for you. In other words, God would expect us to do things that a sighted person should be able to do. Right? Okay? And if you don't have sight, then God wouldn't expect you to do something that with sight you couldn't do. Does that make sense? There was one guy, right? I think he was blind and he climbed Mount Everest. I think there was one particular man. That's up to him. I don't think I want to try that. But you know what? Thank God, Christians. You know what? God's mercy is so great towards you. The fact that you can sit here is God's grace towards you. Great is God's grace. So what do we have to do? The Bible says praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him. Have a life of praise. Have a life of praise. Perhaps it will help us to understand a little bit more after I explain this. Why so many people in the Bible, like Zacchaeus, like the demoniac who was saved, like Paul, that in the moment they get saved, after that, they give their entire lives to Christ. Can you imagine yourself not being able to walk? You're just lame and crippled, and after that, because of this man who raised you up and said, God, I want to follow you. That is the type of heart we need to have as Christians, because God's great grace is toward us. Number one, why do we praise Him? Because of His mercies towards us. Number one. Number two, the Bible also says, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. We praise Him also because of the truth of the Lord. It endureth forever. Okay? Now, four things about the truth of the Lord that endureth forever. Number one, it is stable. We'll get a few people to read, all right? The verse of it. Jacob, if you can turn to Isaiah 40, verse 7 and 8. Then, Brother Timothy Toriano, if you can turn to Matthew 24, 35. Brother Desmond, if you can, John chapter 10, verse 35. Jeremiah, Luke 16, 17. Edward, if you can turn to Psalm 138 and verse 2. Okay, some verses, 4 points on God's truth enduring forever. So we can praise Him. All right, Isaiah 40, verse 7 and 8. It is stable. God's word does not change. Everything else can change. God's word just doesn't. Okay? Number one is stable. It does not change. Number two, it is permanent. Nothing can destroy the law and the word of God. Matthew 24, verse 35. John chapter 10, verse 35. The scripture cannot be broken. That's Jesus' express word. No one can break the scripture. No one can rend it and tear it apart. God's word cannot be broken. Luke 16, 17.
And it is easier for heaven and earth to pass than one tittle of the law to fail.
Easier for... You know what Jesus said? Easier for the entire universe to disappear than for one point of God's law to disappear. God's law is permanent. Nothing can destroy God's law, okay, and His word. Number three, it is consistent. Consistency refers to keeping to a particular way of conduct that we know is right. That's consistency. God keeps His word without wavering. Would that be true? He is consistent. Therefore, we can trust Him and praise Him. Psalm 138, verse 2. Psalmist says, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness. There it is again. And for thy truth. Why? Because thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. There is nothing higher than the name of God. God has given Jesus a name that is above every name, but yet in Psalm 138, verse 2, God, Psalmist says, Thou hast magnified thy word above thy name. You know why? Because if this word is not true, whatever we believe is not true. Does it make sense? And God has to exalt his word above his name, because if his word is not set apart, his word is not holy, then whatever we believe doesn't matter. Okay? So God's word is consistent. And finally, in the context of this verse, God's word is absolutely reliable. Let me just read this. When I read this, it was really encouraging to me. I hope it is to you. Truth sometimes only means that which is true to a person at a particular time. Okay? So when someone sees something and says, oh yes, it's true. But you know, sometimes at other times that truth can change. Agree? That you say, yeah, I know last time I held to this, but you know what? Situations have changed. And therefore, what I held last time no longer holds true. You know what that is? Pragmatism. And it is a curse of the 21st century Christianity. Okay? Now, sometimes it only means a person believes it is true because they habitually observe it. So what they are doing is they are following something that appears to be consistent with a belief system, okay, which can actually change. When we believe in something, we need to be acting consistent with that belief. That is truth. All right? Because truth really is, truth is the correspondence of the proposition with the fact. That is a standard truth. The love of truth is a love of reality. In other words, what we see out there is what we know to be true. Does that make sense? Example, 1 plus 1 equals to 11, right? Yeah, what? 1 plus 1 equals to 11. Yes. Then equals to what? Do you know 3 plus 3 is equals to 8? 3 plus 3 is equals to 8. Again? She's a lover of truth. Why is it then that when we know what is true, we always give reasons why we don't want to follow the truth? Does it make sense? Well, we know the Bible is true, right? Why is it, as people who so-called love the truth, we don't follow it? You know why? Because we don't love truth. But a person who genuinely loves truth will say, 3 plus 3 equals to 6. 1 plus 1 equals to 2. 2 times 2 equals to 6. 6, 4. That's truth. Okay? Now, in this context of Psalm 117, David is not talking about God being, not talking about God's word as truth, as in God's word as being reliable. All right? Now, what does that mean? In the experience of David, whatever God has said, David has always found God never to break his promise. Whatever God said has always come to pass. Okay? Now, what I shared just now earlier on was to give you a distinction of what truth is. But David was not just focusing on the consistency of our action with the truth. He's focusing on God's reliability. That when God said something, you can depend on it. Does that make sense? Because God is always true. Let God be true and every man a liar. God cannot lie. Titus chapter 1 verse 3. God just cannot lie. He just cannot do it. And as a result of God being dependable, we can praise him. Do you realize one of the things why as Christians we can trust God? Because God doesn't lie. Have you ever tried to trust someone who can lie? Can you trust someone who can lie? You know? As Christians, we need to strive for integrity. But we thank God that we have a God that is full of integrity. He is absolute integrity. He just cannot lie. That's why as Christians, we can trust Him. No matter what the situation is, God is not a pragmatic God. He is a holy God. He does not change through situation. The Bible says in James 1, He is without shadow of turning. How many of you do physics in your course? Physics? Physics? Yes? Yes? What is parallax? Don't know. What's parallax? What's parallax? Parallax? I'm not a physician, right? So I'm not a physicist, sorry. Physician, doctor. Okay, if you look at something from here, if the light shines from here, and if you shine a light from here, you actually see two different, the object actually seen different from different. Is that what parallax is, or is it moving? You actually see it really differently. Okay. So that means if you see this, if you see it from different angles, basically it won't be the same you see here or versus you see here. You're seeing the same thing from this angle, from this angle, from this angle. It's the same thing, but you see it differently, slightly. That's parallax. We call it the parallax error. Does that make sense? Do you realize that I was studying this for a message in many, many years ago, James chapter 1. God says without a shadow of turning, the Greek word is parallax. And you know what? I was really jumping for joy. You know what I mean? Every direction you see God, He's the same. Every direction that you see God. You can see God in your pain. You can see God in your joy. You can see God in your stress. You can see God in your depression. He is still the same God. That's our God. Without a parallax, He has no parallax error. We have parallax error. All right. I'd rather you see me from here. No, wrong. I'd rather you see me from here than here. Because you see me from here, I look bigger, you know. I'm still the same person. All right. And that's why people say, if you're big, don't wear white. Because it makes you look bigger. Okay. I always wear black. It makes you look smaller. Is that true? Generally, that's a visual thing, okay, a visual thing. So those who are small don't wear black anymore, wear white, all right? Because you have that visual thing. But you know what? In whatever situations you see God, according to the Bible, He is always the same. Amen? That's why you can trust Him. In your pain, He's still the same God that held you when you were having a joyful time. He's the same God in your trials. He's the same God when you're facing your O-levels. He's the same God when you're facing A levels. He's the same God when you're having the worst of times. He's still the same God. That's why we can trust Him. Personal reflection, the last part, just 3 points. Number one, three things to learn. Number one, learn to praise Him regularly. Psalm 119, verse 164. Let me just read that. 7 times a day do I praise Thee. That's what the psalmist David said. Because of Thy righteous judgments. When was the last time you thanked God for His word? When was the last time you thank God for His word? Really, is it God? I thank You for Your word. You know what the psalmist says? 7 times a day do I praise Thee for Thy loving, for Thy righteous judgments. You know, we need to thank God more for the word. In the world that is always changing, God's word doesn't. Amen? It just doesn't change. Whatever He prophesied 2,000 years ago is just happening right now. It doesn't change. It doesn't change. 7 times, learn to praise God on a regular basis. Really, really learn to, you know, parents, learn to praise God to your children. Well, thank God that I didn't get an accident today. Thank God I'm safe. Thank God I'm still here. Thank God I can see your smiley face. Learn to thank God, you know, for every single thing. Thank God for your mom, dad, your palabo or whatever. You know, thank God. Just thank God for your balut or I don't know why all Filipino food. Or thank God. You thank God that you can come to church. Thank God. Thank God for your friends. Thank God for your glasses. Can you, do you know life without glasses? How many of you have lived life without glasses before? I'm not talking about those who can see. Okay? How about life without glasses? Amen. Thank God. Just learn to thank God on a regular basis because you know why? He deserves it. He takes care of us every time. Every time. Number two, it is important, learn to accept the Lord's work in your life. As much as we learn to thank God, I know that there are situations you say, Brother Johnny, it's very hard to thank God in my situation. You know what? Let's turn to Psalm 116, just back here. Psalm 116. Psalm 116, the psalmist David was going through a hard time. Look at verse 3. The sorrows of death compass me. The pains of hell get hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then call I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our Lord is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. Sorry, something just happened. Never mind, you want to share or you want me to share? Okay. Sunday. Louder.
Then I want to play soccer at the court. Then they are having some Chinese God's birthday celebration down there. Yeah, they are supposed to celebrate the God's and all that. So what happened is, the soccer court is here. So they push all the basketball hoops and everything, those fans who throw basketball, because it's over, so they move it all into the soccer court. So they wanted to move one out, so that they were able to...
More space to play. How come got no more electricity?
Because
they were playing. You know what happened? Okay, there was supposed to be this Chinese God celebration at our mega court. So the electrical supply is nearer to the car park. So from the car park to the mega court is probably about 50 meters away. No, the car park around there. Oh, yeah. Anyway, so there's this electrical wire. So in order to have the big mega court and build all the tent, they push all the basketball hoops into the, you know, the soccer playing, those sorts of, what do you call that? Street soccer court. So Jeremiah, they all were playing inside. So they wanted to move this. And they didn't know because the wire was very high. And so he put and it snapped the electrical wire. And suddenly a guy said, how come no more electricity? Because it snapped the wire. All right. And then after that, the guy actually just said, did you all snap the wire? He said, yes, sorry. He said, okay, Jeremiah, I'll just go and call town council. Then I used this verse, the Lord preserveth the simple, the people who don't know what's happening. Basically, they didn't know what's happening. But God preserved them, otherwise it would be punched. But anyway, that was the whole thing. Let's come back to it again. All right. The Lord preserved the simple. I was brought low, and He helped me. You know, sometimes things happen in our lives, we were brought low, and God always helps us, amen? We can go down as low as we think, but God helps us. You know, the personal reflection on this is, learn to accept the Lord's work in our lives. Sometimes God may put us through things that we're saying, Lord, why am I in this situation? Can I say this? Just now I just said it. That God, even in your sorrowful times, is the same God. Amen? And therefore, you are able to still, Lord, if you are the same in the high times, in the bad times, in the good times, it means that I can trust you whatever time. And God... And I know that you have the best for me, and therefore, Lord, in my situation, I will learn to accept what you have for me. There was one little 3-year-old boy. He has cancer. This 3-year-old boy had cancer. So he was brought in, and the doctor was really, he was trying to have, I think it was chemo or something, he was jabbing him. And also he was screaming and shouting and all that kind of thing. At the end of the whole thing, through his tears, he said, "Thank you, doctor." Even though it was painful, even though it was going through a hard time, at the end of it, he said, "Thank you, doctor." You know, sometimes we just need to, you can, there's nothing wrong with shouting and screaming, you're just going to hit someone. But you know what? At the end of the day, we need to learn as Christians, Lord, still thank you. Learn to accept what God has for us. Learn to accept what God has for us. And finally, publicly declare your devotion to the Lord. In Psalm 116, verse 14, notice in verse 12 first, "What shall I give to the Lord? What shall I render unto the Lord?" The word render literally comes from the word rend. What does it mean, rend? To tear. What shall I tear off from myself and give to God? That's what it literally means. Because the word render in the Hebrew has the meaning of surrender. It has the meaning of giving. It has the meaning of tearing and giving. What shall I render unto the Lord? For what? For all His benefits towards me. Everything that God, what should I give? What should I tear off from myself to give to God? You know what he says? "I will take the cup of salvation." That literally means I will accept what God's deliverance is for me. And I will call upon the name of the Lord. That has to do with, regardless of what situation is, I will still call on God's name. Knowing that God is so good to me, I know He is good to me. I'm going to receive whatever He gives to me, and I will put my trust in Him. I'm not going to put my trust in man. I'm not going to put my trust in my closest friend. I'm going to put my trust squarely in Him. But notice in verse 14, "I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all His people." You know what that means? You know what David says? In the midst of my crisis, I'm going to call upon the name of God. I'm going to demonstrate my devotion to God in front of everyone, that even though I may be going through the hard times, I will still be serving God. I will still be being committed to God, regardless of what may happen to me. Why? Because God is God, is God. He is stable. He is unchanging. I can trust Him. You know, Christians, we need to learn. You know, sometimes I give invitations on Sundays. You know why? Sometimes it's important for us to say, "God, I'm here for you. And I'm willing to stand in the congregation of the people." That's what the... Do you realize in the Bible, when people came to Christ, it was always public profession? Remember Zacchaeus? What did he do in front of all his guests? "Lord, I will give half of my goods to the poor. And if I've cheated anyone, I pay him back fourfold." Publicly. You know what Jesus says after that? "Today, salvation comes to this house. For truly he is also a son of Abraham." You know, as Christians, we need to take away our Singaporean mentality of being paisei. But if God works in your heart, be willing to say, "Lord, here am I. Here am I." You know, in the past, I used to not want to do a lot of invitation, but you know what? From the scriptures, it seems that many people actually publicly profess faith. And those people who actually went full-time, they oftentimes dedicated themselves publicly before the people. Do you know why that is so important? Because if you are willing to publicly step out, it seals your commitment to God. Because you are accountable. Do you know why Singaporeans are not willing for that kind of commitment today? Because they don't want to be accountable. Oh, that we will have a church that will say, "Lord, based on Psalm 116 verse 14, I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all God's people." And you know what? Those people aren't looking. You know what I need to do? Pray for them. Pray for these people. I say, "God, I'm going to support." You know, when me and my wife, we went to the full-time ministry, we thank God with a sister or brother who says, "Johnny, we're going to support you." That's so encouraging. And they still are doing it now in the ministry. And you know what? I can tell you, if you ever go full-time, this church will be 100% behind you, even if you have to sell our house. But anyway, we can't keep our house in this world anyway. Does it make sense? Pay your vows before God's people. And you know what? I know there are some people who is very curious when, you know, during their invitation, they will... Don't worry about those people. Worry about your relationship with God. If God asks you to go, just move. Okay? So we expect more people this Sunday. Anyway, I'm not preaching. Russell will be here on Sunday. All right, Russell. So Jihua is here to preach on Sunday. I know some children love him because he always tells jokes. So anyway, publicly declare your devotion to the Lord. So any questions? So Christians learn to praise God because he is good to us. His mercy is great to us. And his truth endures forever. Any questions? Questions? What we're going to do from next week onwards, we're going to have, because we're touching on the area of sanctification and sanctified church, okay, we're going to finish off this Sunday. Next week, we're going to do surrendered church, okay? But this Sunday on sanctification, we're going to expand out into some of the issues that as Christians we need to face, all right? I shared last week, we got a whole module on music that we're going to do that. We're going to be dealing firstly with dressing, specifically, the history of dressing, specifically, all through. Please come on Fridays, okay? You want to know why? I preach one time. I think I preach the most one time on dressing. But I think as a church, we need to know, as a sanctified congregation, what God expects, all right, in our dressing. And the more I study, the more I realize, oh, God, we need to get back to godly principles. You know, this world is so far away from what God has to say. And so I want to systematically show you from history, from the Bible, from history all the way, and what are some of the principles that has been hung on to, but ever since the 1900s started to break down, and how even this, the more I study, the more I realize, you know, many of the ladies that are wearing things out there will be something that they would not wear about 100 years ago. You know why? Many of the ladies are wearing undergarments today, publicly. For us, it's like we are kind of, I'll show you, all right, I'll show you. But I won't show, I'll just show the shirt and things like that, no, without the person. But you know what? It's so scary nowadays. The more you know the truth, you know, it'll set you free. It'll set you free. And I was reading an article from in the University of Nigeria, they actually put in dressing standards. No see-through blouses, no singlets, whatever. They actually have dressing standards in a university in Nigeria, of all places. I was reading this article, it's like, whoa, okay. And because the skirts were so short and things like that, they had to put in those standards. And that is only recently in 2010, okay? And so we want to actually go through that, all right? And I want us to carefully study this because the next generation is going to be worse, amen? If you're not careful. So we're going to be going through that. Where did pants come in on girls? Do you realize it only came in after the Second World War? And that's where. And the reason why it came in was because there wasn't enough cloth. Literally. For the flank skirts. Who they actually... there were other things. The shorts came in when the first tennis player wore it and became... Every time there was a new introduction of this pants, there was always an uproar. But people kept on pushing it because people wanted a new way of living. New way. And you know the most vocal church against, you know which church fought hard against dressing? The Catholic Church. It's like, whoa. Said, we will not have this, and they preach strongly against that kind of. They preach strongly against pants, Catholic Church. But you know what? Today, we want to look through the Bible. Is it cultural? Is it pragmatism? Or are we just plain disobeying the scriptures? Okay, we want to go back to that so that feel free to ask questions. Remember, there's always learning time. We need to know what God says. And then apply those Bible principles to our life. Right? So next thing onwards, then we'll be touching on music as well. Then, so that for us as a church, as we become sanctified, you know, the world is getting worse. We need to be clear in what we stand for and understand why. So please make those time available. All right? Like I said, I'm going to put in a lot of time to just have systematized the notes so that you can have it for yourself and see for yourself from Scripture what God says, and then we follow it. All right? It's a word of prayer. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time and the attention of your people. We pray, Father, that You will teach us to praise you from the bottom of hearts at all times because you are worthy. Lord, we thank you in James chapter 1. You are a God. There is no shadow of turning with you. Lord, you are just the same every which way we see you. Lord, whether in our hard times or easy times, you are always the same. We thank you, Lord. There is no parallax error with you. God, you are always the same. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, I ask that this will sink deep in our hearts as we take these thoughts home. That God, I pray for one believer who may be in a difficult situation now. Lord, help them to know that in their situation, you are still the same. You still love them, and you still have all the power in you to help them through their situation, through your word, through the local church, through the Holy Spirit. God, I pray for any Christian, Lord, right now, who need your help, who need your encouragement. I just ask that tonight that Psalm 117, just two verses, yes, so much in it about your goodness toward us. Lord, help us to learn to praise you as a church. May Ambassador Baptist Church not just be holy, but a praising church. And we see in Acts chapter 2, in the last verse, how they praise God and God and had favor among the people. And God, you added daily to the church such as should be saved. Lord, help us to be a church of praise, a church that praise you from the bottom of our heart in real terms, and help us to live a genuine life that others might see Christ. We thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay.